Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show podcast. Think of it like a magazine or a box of chocolates. You never know what you'll get. From politics to pop culture, healthcare to legal issues, it's all here. And my behind-the-wheel chats are personal observations created especially for you on podcast only. Enjoy.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're going to turn now to Mike Cerulli, who writes a tip sheet for ctcapitalreport.com. Comes out every Monday. And frankly, it's a must read for any of us who want to keep our finger on the pulse of what's happening day to day in Hartford politics. Mike manages to be at various press conferences and be in the room where it happens, so to speak. And in fact, he was in the room, I believe, when Mike Johnson dipped into town just last week, and or maybe it was this week, the beginning of this week, to be there in order to promote George Logan's attempt to unseat Johanna Hayes in the 5th Congressional District. Mike Cerulli, welcome back to the show. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, Lisa. It's great to be back.
It's always great to have you. So let's begin with that. Mike Johnson, were you in the room when it happened? Were you there?
Yes. Yeah, we were there for the rally that he held in Farmington alongside George Logan, News 8, who I report on politics for that station. We had the exclusive interview with Speaker Johnson and George Logan. Speaker Johnson was here in Connecticut for 2 days, held two private fundraisers, one rally that was sort of semi-public private, and drew out about 400 supporters. And we had a chance to talk to Speaker Johnson about what he believes is going to happen in the upcoming election.
Okay, so let's just talk about how he looks. He seemed very short, and he had an uncanny resemblance to Stephen Colbert. Does that make any sense to you? What do you think, Mike? Does he look like that in real life? What do you think?
You know, it's interesting you bring up his appearance, because his appearance is actually fairly important to his sort of story and his appeal as a politician, which is he's from Louisiana, so he's got this sort of southern genteel mannerism to himself. He's very bookish. With the glasses and, you know, the hair kind of combed off to the side. There's a great profile of him recently in the New Yorker magazine that goes into, you know, he's a shorter guy. He's got this kind of put together look, and he's a good face right now in the Republicans' view for their party as they, you know, field these accusations of being too extreme, of being, you know, sort of out there for Connecticut. You look at the guy and he doesn't look like someone who's some threatening extremist. He looks like the type of guy who would explain to you, you know, how to pay a parking ticket or something like that. He's very seriously. I mean that in a nice way. Like, he's a very calm presence. He's a nice guy in the room. He's a little bit shorter than I am. And I'm not the tallest guy in the world. So, next to George Logan, we both look very short because George Logan's about 6'3".
I was going to say, George Logan's a very tall guy, right? Yeah, George is very tall.
Yes,
right.
100%. Yeah.
Okay, so, and with that affable nature and that genteel charm, but it doesn't really jive with some of his votes and some of his convictions, correct?
So I don't want to get into characterizing him as, you know, maybe his votes are different than his personality. He is an incredibly conservative individual, both personally and as a member of Congress and now as the Speaker of the House. He's incredibly conservative, more conservative than anyone we have in Connecticut. That's just a statement of fact. He is someone who pretty much opposes all access to abortion. He was among the more than 100 members of the Republican conference in Congress that voted and objected to the results of the 2020 election.
All right, let's just stop right there. Hold on. Yep. I want you to take a pause. I want us to take a pause whenever we say this, because it's worth pausing that we have someone who is the Speaker of the House who did not believe that Joe Biden was legitimately elected to office. I think that that's a big breath.
It is. I think it would also be important to note that he objected, to be more specific with it, he objected to the results in two states. And he made and he also was a signatory, and according to press reports, one of the principal authors of the amicus briefs filed to the Supreme Court that many congressional Republicans signed on to. And in some public statements, flirted with some of the theories that people had about voter manipulation, vote count manipulation in the 2020 election. So he's not just someone who signed on to these things. He is, according to press reports, one of the principal drivers of the movement to try and overturn the results of the 2020 election. And you know, he's a lawyer. He comes from a conservative law background. So he was naturally fit to lead, you know, that litigation. But yes, signed on to an amicus brief. And again, according to press reports, is one of the principal authors of that brief.
So let me ask you this, Mike Cerulli. We're chatting with Mike Cerulli, who's a reporter for News Channel 8 and writes something called the tip sheet for ctcapitalreport.com, which I urge you to sign up for. So with that, he comes into Connecticut and he's very honest and he says, look, I've got a very slim margin here. Please elect another Republican. What does he have in common and what does he not have in common on the issues with George Logan?
So I would say the two areas where they overlap the most, one would be on economic issues. They both broadly believe that the fiscal policies of Joe Biden's administration and the congressional Democrats who have allied with him are too expansive. He believes that those fiscal policies have contributed to the inflation we're seeing, and both of them speak pretty strongly about the economic condition of the country right now, essentially arguing that, you know, the inflation, the cost of living rises we're seeing, that they attribute a lot of that, if not all of it, to Democratic policies. So they both are very, pretty much in lockstep on fiscal policy. I think you'd see them voting the same way if George Logan gets invited, gets elected down to Congress. The second thing, which I was actually sort of notable to me when I interviewed both of them, is they both zeroed in on the border. Border security, of course, one of the most controversial issues in Washington right now. And both of them used pretty similar rhetoric on, we need to secure the border. Mike Johnson even says we need to close the border because of the amount of migrants who are coming over. So those two issues stuck out to me in the interview that we had with them as areas that they overlap. I'm sure there are other areas where they would overlap. And then, of course, as we might talk about, there are areas where their public statements and policy records have differed from each other.
Are they different on the issue of abortion?
That will be the key one, right? That will be the key issue. George Logan said multiple times running in 2022 against John Hayes that he supports a woman's right to choose. He supports some restrictions on it. And I will just be honest, if you read the Connecticut Mirror, did great reporting on the 2022 race. Our News Channel 8 did great reporting on it. It was sort of hard at times to get an exact what would he vote for, what wouldn't he vote for at the federal level. He talks with the language of, well, this is a state's issue, you know, Roe versus Wade when it was overturned by Dobbs. You know, his argument is, hey, it's now up to states. So he says he's for a woman's right to choose. He has indicated that he would maybe support some protections for that at the federal level. Mike Johnson, on the other hand, is someone who, again, staunchly conservative, staunchly in that anti-abortion camp. So campaigning together, and it's already happened, the Connecticut Democrats actually just used a clip from my piece of the two of them together. You will see in attack ads, they will try to connect the two of them together and say, look, this guy is the most conservative position on abortion, and he was campaigning with George Logan, and George Logan physically embraced him and also fundraised with him. So who's to say that they won't, you know, get together on some of these issues? That will be the line of attack you see over and over again in this race.
And do you anticipate it being a close race? Do you think that, well, what do you think? Do you think Johanna Hayes has made the case that she should be reelected in her district, or that George Logan has made some inroads that would make a difference in November?
So I do think it will be a close race. They came within 2,000 votes of each other last time. More than 250,000 votes were cast in that election. So it's a less than 1% margin separating them in that 2022 race. Of course, the conventional political wisdom would say that Johanna Hayes has an easier time this time around because of the presidential election. Her district voted for Joe Biden 55%, I believe, in 2020. And that always raises this high tide, raises all ships type thing for the Democrats when it's a presidential election year.
Yep.
Two caveats to that. One, Joe Biden has a historically low approval rating right now. And two, you may see, and this is I just want to be very clear, this is me prognosticating as a political observer now, you may see ticket splitting, meaning, you know, we see it around Fairfield County a lot where someone might say, okay, we don't want to go back to the 2016-2020 Donald Trump presidency, but we want to check on Joe Biden term two. So we may ticket split. We may vote Democratic at the top, and then as we start getting down the ballot, start voting for Republicans. That happens all the time, and particularly suburbs, and the 5th District has many suburbs, including places like Simsbury, where you may see ticket splitting. And for George Logan, the key is going to be how far down or up the ballot does that ticket splitting start? And how prevalent is it? And that's a question I think a lot of Republicans in Connecticut are asking themselves, because they know that they need that split voter. They need a lot of them to show up if they want to show well generally in November.
When Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, we chatted with Mike Cerulli, who is a reporter from News 8, when Speaker Johnson came in, he seemed to be gratified, and the reporting that I read seemed to indicate that there was an enthusiastic and big turnout of local Republicans to embrace him, which would not necessarily be something you would expect in terms of an alliance with the same degree of conservatism. But did you see an enthusiasm for him that seemed to be genuine, notwithstanding maybe differences on specific issues?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There was certainly an enthusiasm for him. And I would point out, too, that the rally in Farmington was notable for two reasons. One, it was the opening of a national Republican field office. So Mike Johnson's political operation down in D.C., which will have hundreds of millions of dollars to spend around the country, they opened an outpost in Farmington. The rally marked the opening of that. So it was notable to show the sort of national commitment to this race. And the other thing was 400 people showed up to it, and it wasn't advertised publicly. It was all word of mouth. It was all these grassroots Republican organizers calling each other saying, hey, we're going to come out Saturday afternoon. The Speaker of the House is going to be there. And in that crowd, there was certainly enthusiasm for Mike Johnson. There were a lot, as I wrote in the tip sheet, as you mentioned, you know, there were some, you know, red Make America Great Again hats in the crowd. There were some sort of more New England Republican of type that we know well here in Connecticut in the crowd. They all seemed enthusiastic for him simply because you have the highest ranking elected Republican in the country coming to Connecticut and saying, we think this is a pickup. We think this is the battleground of all battlegrounds here in the 5th District. That field office that they opened is the first of its kind this year in a district currently held by Republicans. It's the first of its kind that Mike Johnson has campaigned in this cycle. So it really shows, I think, the national Republican commitment. And I think that's what folks were enthusiastic about. Again, there were probably some people in that crowd with the red hats on who are also with him on his conservative policies. But I think generally it was just the enthusiasm for George Logan that you saw in that crowd, again, of over 400, which is very impressive for a March crowd on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. And it means that they're going to have money. It means the money is going to come in from Washington to help his campaign if he needs some money. That's what it means.
An incredible amount of money. The NRCC, that's the National Republican Congressional Committee, that's the Speaker's sort of campaign arm. They bring tremendous amounts, again, hundreds of millions of dollars to bear. And then the Super PAC, the Congressional Leadership Fund, will bring its own nine-figure sum again, that's nationwide. That's not all going to come here to Connecticut. But you will see seven figures of outside spending from those Republican groups. And you will see George Logan raise seven figures himself. So you'll be looking at one of them, not just one of the more closely watched races and closely fought races, but one of the most expensive House races, I would predict, will be here in Connecticut's 5th District.
We're chatting with Mike Cerulli, who writes the tip sheet for Capital Report, CapitalReportCT.com, that comes, or CTCapitalReport.com, that comes out on Monday mornings. And it's really fabulous because, Mike, you're doing a fantastic job. Before we let you go,
I
wanted to just note Attorney General Tong has come on the scene to join in with other attorneys general to allege that Apple is essentially anti-competitive in its practices. And I thought it was really interesting that you noted one particular detail that all of us will be able to relate to. All of us that have an iPhone, anyway. I have an iPhone.
Right.
And sometimes I text people and the text comes in blue. And sometimes the text comes in green. And the blue texts seem friendlier to me. They also always seem faster to me. And they're easier to read. The green texts always seem like a stepchild text. And half of the time I think that they're going to an email address and not to a phone. And I'm never sure they're really getting there. And it turns out, based on what you're telling me, that this is one of the allegations against Apple as an anti-competitive practice. Can you explain?
Yes. And so I want to just be very clear. At the top here, these are allegations being outlined by the U.S. Department of Justice, specifically their antitrust division, led by Assistant Attorney General Jonathan Cantor. And 16 states, including Connecticut, have joined in this lawsuit. And the argument about iPhones is basically that they have all these features that are built into them, that the sole purpose is to lock you in the Apple ecosystem. And one of them, which you just highlighted, is these green text messages. And I'm just going to read directly from the DOJ's lawsuit here. It actually goes further than to just say, hey, the quality is a little bit worse. That's the allegation they say. And this is a quote, open quote here. The conversation is not encrypted. Videos are pixelated and grainy, and users cannot edit messages or see typing indicators. Close quote. That's the function side. They actually go further into the allegation to highlight some of what you just mentioned. I'm just going to let the DOJ speak for itself here. We'll go open quote. This signals to users that rival smartphones are lower quality because the experience of messaging friends and family who do not own iPhones is worse, even though Apple, not the rival smartphone, is the cause of that degraded user experience. Mm. Many non-iPhone users also experience social stigma, exclusion, and blame for breaking chats where other participants use iPhones, close
yep.
quotes. And then they go
yep.
on to say that it's particularly pernicious among teenagers. And they talk about the social pressure of the
uh-huh.
green bubble. So really, 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 yeah. And that's in an official, you know, the lawsuit of the U.S. Department of Justice. And again, there are other technical aspects that they mention about the iPhones. I don't want to just say this is just about green bubbles. But that was the one I thought was most,
Good
illustrates
catch.
Best the claims that are being
yeah.
made here. Yeah.
Yeah. And before we let you go, Mike, I want to say this. The real issue with Apple, in my opinion, has nothing to do with this. This may be an issue. But the thing that raised headlines to me that really was startling to me and I want our audience to know about is that Apple decided that they were going to go ahead and use the Gemini program for AI, the Gemini program that has been laughed off of the stage. The Gemini program that was created by Google, that when you ask for an image of a Nazi soldier, they have a black man, and they have all different kinds of black and indigenous people coming into American history and white people coming into American history at inopportune times that have nothing to do with historical facts, and they have been ridiculed and laughed off of the stage by all of the software programmers. I was absolutely shocked and floored that Apple decided to partner with Gemini for their AI feature. It was chilling to me. If you just have to go online in a nanosecond, and you will see all the criticisms leveled at Gemini. I'm telling you, it's been laughed at. I have, my son-in-law works at Amazon. He's a software engineer, and he was showing me illustration after illustration after illustration of how fucked the Gemini programming was, because it was apparently programmed by a bunch of, I don't know, very, very left-wing people that decided that they were going to distort history in favor of what they wanted history to look like. It's crazy. And I thought that that was a terrible decision, because AI is a rather static. AI does not learn from itself based on user experience. Once an AI system is put out there, it looks like that until they go through all these machinations to change it again. And I was really shocked that this particular generation of Gemini was partnered with Apple for artificial intelligence. Shocked.
Yeah, I'll say, you know, bias in artificial intelligence is actually the target of a piece of legislation, a couple pieces of legislation, actually, here in the Connecticut legislature. Certainly, the training data that they're trained on is of interest to lawmakers. And it's interesting because these are brand new, you know, many of these technologies are rapidly proliferating at a pace faster than lawmakers, in many cases, know how to keep up with it. So to watch this legislation work its way through the legislature has been interesting, and bias is certainly a part of that conversation. Bias, discrimination, accuracy, generally speaking, and the data that these things are trained on. Exactly.
Let's at least start with accuracy. All right, Mike Cerulli, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. You'll come on again next week. If you haven't subscribed, it's free in your inbox. Go to ctcapitalreport.com, subscribe to the tip sheet. Mike Cerulli does a fantastic job over the weekend summarizing what's happening in Connecticut. It's just a great shorthand experience for you to keep on top of the news. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to be here, as always.
Always a pleasure. We'll be right back with The Kindness of Strangers. Stay tuned.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends. And as always, feel free to contact me at Lisa@LisaWexler.com.